Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and Alexa sounds like a man for our Survivor David versus Goliath episode 10 predictions and power rankings.
10 and 11 or just 10? Also, yes, this is Alexa the man talking.
Hang on, I'm hearing myself. I always forget to mute this.
I always forget.
Anyway, but Alexa, what do you have, strep throat?
I have strep throat. I think between both Phil and I in college, we had a combined 42 cases of strep throat, not because of any interaction, just because we don't take care of ourselves. And I had like a good 3 years going without getting strep, but here I am spending time with my family and getting good night's sleep, and I still got strep.
So now we have to listen to this for the next hour of our lives. Yeah. Enjoy. It could be episode 10 and 11. It could just be episode 10. I mean, who knows?
TBD.
I don't know. They'll call it something. I'll wait until I see it online what they actually are calling it. But for now, it's just episode 10. Everybody knows where to come for this. So this is our predictions of power rankings. We just did our recap on Friday, so this seems really, really recent. But the only thing that's changed for me is that I watched Dan's Ponderosa video, and him and John are cute, and that's about all I got. But other than that, yeah, we're just back to break this down, this 5-5 split, going into final 10, two eliminations. It's always tough when there's two eliminations for power rankings, especially when on a season like this where it seems like anything can really happen. And we've seen the last couple of weeks, Elizabeth was an easy one, and then John and Dan going home. It was pretty crazy circumstances. Are Carl and Gabby really going to fight? Is this going to be the end of some of these Goliaths who have been hanging on for a little bit, like Angelina and Mike? Or can they actually pull something off and get rid of one of the Davids? The problem is the Goliaths don't have any – they don't have any idols or anything like that, so I don't know what they would do. But anyway, last week I had Dan in spot 10. Alexa had him in spot 6, so I am now beating her 100 to 88. Oof. I'm not sure if I'm beating her in anything else, but at least I'm beating her in this, which feels good.
Well, you're beating me pretty handily in that, so that might even out.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It makes me feel better about whatever decisions I made in the bootless game by putting Alec and Kara at 20 and 19.
I know, I gotta, maybe today last week I posted kind of a mid-season where everyone is with the power ranking, or no, with the fantasy game, so I'll repost those today. Intern is crushing us in one of them, which everyone could have saw coming because he's way smarter than us, but... Yeah, you and I are like a good 20 points behind like the fifth place person on the boot list.
Yeah, it's terrible. But the boot list I always do pretty bad on, like we always say.
We're both pretty right in the middle.
The boot list is hard because when we do it, we're doing it way before everybody else has even looked at it. And then we can't change it once you start finding out, hey, Pat's not in any pictures and Jessica sure isn't in any pictures. And wait, is that Karen Alec hanging out in an individual immunity challenge? Like, you know, we get all that stuff. But – anyway, so Alexa will post all of that stuff, and intern, good for you, man. Got to beat me at something, so congrats. I'm gonna start a one-sided rivalry with intern where I just insult him and he doesn't do anything. It'll be great.
You insult him and he beats you in all of the fantasy games. That seems pretty fair to me.
That seems fair. And then Vaughn right now in the actual fantasy game is destroying everyone. he has 150 points. He still has four people left. Alexa, you have 123 with just Allison and Kara. I have 101 with Gabby, Christian, Carl. Bradley has 113, but with Alec. So he still got me beat, but Christian has an idol, so I'm feeling okay about it. Vaughn has Nick, Angelina, Mike, and Davey. So he's got the winner of the season and three people who will finish between fifth and eighth.
That's a good one.
So there you go. But it ended up being where Carl and Kara tied for MVP votes, but then I gave it to Carl because Kara also got two LVP votes because she wasn't the MVP. Also, it was Carl. So I gave it to Carl because I'll use the LVP votes as a cancellation or whatever, tiebreaker. Carl didn't have any LVP votes because he wasn't LVP. And I don't know what Kara did in the last episode to be MVP, but I'm sure somebody will scream at me in the chat to tell me and say that, you know.
I'm not even going to comment on that. Let's move on.
Exactly. So let's just start this off. I'm going to start off with my number one as Nick Wilson because, yeah, he doesn't have an idol or anything like that, but we've just been talking about it all season long. He's got alliances all over the place. I think he's going to be able to come out here this episode. I think he's good enough with Alec, Kara, Allison. I think he probably has enough relationship with Mike that Mike won't gun for Nick first. They'll all probably gun for Christian if they figure Christian as an idol. Maybe they gun for Gabby. Maybe they gun for Carl or Davey. But I feel like Nick has a good enough relationship with everybody to survive two episodes. And that's the hard part of this. I was going to put Christian at one. I ended up just putting him at two because it's tough when it's two episodes. Christian has the idol, so I assume he survives one. What if they try to pull a fast one on him in the second episode? If he has to play it the first episode, then you try to get rid of Christian because you do have a better relationship with Alec, Allison, and Kara than maybe we're being led to believe. So maybe the way I'm seeing this episode go is an easy Angelina, Mike, Kara boot. Not Kara. Angelina or Mike boot in the first episode. And then the second episode is when something crazy might happen, when something a little bit more hectic. So I like where Nick is at a little bit more than where Christian is at, just because Christian is going to be a target throughout while Nick is not.
I have Nick and Christian at my one and two also. And this is, like you said, these double episodes are so tough. You usually have something simple and then something insane. I agree with you. I think, well, at first I thought like Mike or Angelina will be the first ones, but since it's 5-5, I feel like now is the time where if any of the Davids want to break off, they need to use Mike or Angelina, and then they'll just ditch him, kind of like what happened with Joe and HHH. Like, they used him, and then they just completely dumped him. So I could see that happening, but when it comes to Nick being number one, he's almost at an advantage because he doesn't have an idol. He and Gabby are the only Davids remaining that have never held any form of advantage. And I think that's kind of worked for them because Nick has been able to pull these strings behind the scenes and no one really sees that he's doing it. Eventually, he's going to have to come to the forefront if he wants to win, because if he's sitting next to Davey and Carl, he can take all the credit he wants, but Davey and Carl are going to be like, well, we're the ones who actually did it. So I think Nick is perfectly fine. Christian, I just don't think Christian is going to go, because I think people are going to stop voting for him. He has had votes piled on him for the past 2 weeks, and it hasn't worked. So I think whatever Goliaths or whatever Davids feel like flipping, they're not going to go for Christian, because now it's just so obvious that everyone's going for Christian. Give him like one vote, make him feel comfortable, and then get rid of him. When it comes to Nick, in that interview that I can't stop reading with Josh Wigler, he said that Alec, Allison, Kara, and Angelina all separately came up to him and said that they regretfully had to get rid of Christian. And so Nick was like, oh, it's going to be Christian. Like, he is just, he's not even playing these people. These people are coming to him. It's really amazing.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say is Nick did play the steal a vote. So
he did. You're right. Yes.
I know you said you didn't have one, but I know I'll save you from the tortures of.
Thank you so much. I was really not ready for internet trolls today.
Yeah, you're welcome. I know you're sick. Everybody give Alexa a break. Let her live her life.
Just please eviscerate me next time.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, just the way I look at this is Christian to go in a double boot episode feels crazy because of how big his edit has been. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a double boot, but it's two episodes. But it still feels weird that he would be on the back half of something like that. It just seems like, I don't know, it seems like he's getting such a big edit that he feels like final five to me. He feels like he makes the finale and then just falls short. Nick, though, I have the confessional numbers in front of me. Oh, wow. So the only people who have had a confessional in every episode that are still left in the game are Nick, Angelina, Christian, and Mike. And out of those people... Yeah, Mike. And out of those people, I think Nick is the only one who can win. And if you look at his edit, he does have the most confessionals. He has 29. And it's been 7-1, 4-2, 3-3-1, 6-2. Like, they're giving him something every week. And a lot of the time, they're giving him more than just a little something. And because I don't see Christian actually being taken to the end, I don't think anybody's stupid enough to do that. I think that out of those four, I don't see Mike or Angelina pulling it off. So I really think Nick is the only one who can pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, Mike and Angelina, I'm really surprised that Mike still has as many confessionals, but I guess he and Angelina were kind of your narrators at the beginning, and now they're just kind of always on the bottom.
They went to a lot of tribals at the beginning.
They did. You're right. They were on the Jabron tribe. With Christian, the only way I could see him going home this week is if he's the last one, and if this is one of those double boots where the first and the second boot really correlate with each other. Like, maybe you blindside Gabby, Christian tries to save her with his idol, and then they get rid of Christian. So it's like a 2-hour Christian episode. But the idea of Christian and Gabby going home right now is pretty absurd. But that would be the only way that, or like Nick goes home or someone else who's tight with Christian where Christian can kind of talk his way through it. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with that. My number three, I actually have Allison. So,
Oh my God, we're
in sync here, right? Like, because of what you said about that article or that interview with Nick, it just seems like Allison is still in fine with them. Like, mm-hmm. she just seems like she's in a fine spot. I know her edit hasn't been big. She's only got 11 confessionals right now, but she's been like relevant wow. every single episode. So even though it's only 11 confessionals, the most is only at 29.
Who is the least who's still in?
Carl and Allison are tied with 11.
Okay.
That's what's insane though right now. If you go and look at like recent seasons, there's people who had, you know, 8 confessionals, 9 confessionals, 5 confessions. Like
Chelsea three,
exactly. And, you know, you even look at somebody like Joe from back in Korong. He started off strong, kind of disappeared. By this time, he had 10 confessionals. So he had less, and he actually had a big edit at the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. which Allison didn't get. And I believe the number for Allison last week, she did have 4 last week, so that was a bigger of a number. But she also only has 1 episode where she did not get a confessional. That's pretty crazy. And I know we count episode, the 2-hour premiere, we count that as just 1. So I believe that people, you know, they count that second one as what do you call it? As like a separate episode, that second hour. But I'm pretty sure she only has 1 episode where she doesn't have a confessional.
Wow. That's pretty surprising.
You know what? No, they do count it as just 1 because it wasn't a double boot. So it is just 1. So she has two episodes where she doesn't have a confessional, but still.
That's still not bad.
It's still really, really not bad. And, you know, somebody had put in the comments the other day that she's getting the same edit as our Kara is getting the edit of Michelle Fitzgerald. But I really still think that it's more Allison. And I know that Michelle and Kara's numbers add up a little bit more. But if you go back and look at where Michelle was invisible, it was episode 3 and 4. And Allison was invisible in episode 2 and 4. And since then has been very, very relevant to the story. And after that, Michelle was getting confessional in every single episode. So mm-hmm. I do think that because Allison wasn't, she didn't go to tribal council in episode 2. She didn't go to tribal council in episode 4. Her story wasn't relevant. Kara's was early on. So I still think Allison is getting that more Michelle edit.
I think that's a pretty good breakdown because I think we and so many people take into account the premiere to episode 3 and we just take whatever happens there and we push it all the way to the final 4. And to your point, that doesn't always matter because Allison was not a part of the storyline that early. Kara was, and now we're either going to get a lot of Kara pickup or Kara might go home because Dan and Kara was this whole thing. Now she breaks up with Dan. Maybe she skyrockets to a win, or maybe she just goes home because she lost the only person who really trusts her. So, like you said, Allison wasn't necessary at the beginning. I certainly would have loved to seen her at the beginning, but they built up the Christians and the Knicks because clearly they're going far. So yeah. I'm glad that the confessionals and like the screen time itself is pretty evened out because Allison, I very well thought couldn't win, but we're putting her at number 3 and I think she is not a clear path to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if she did win.
Yeah, and it's these types of seasons, though, sometimes where a weird winner pops up, like a Gabby, mm-hmm. a Kara, Allison, maybe even a, like not a Carl, but maybe a Davey, exactly, where you do get more even confessionals. Because I'm looking at, like I said, I have Korong in front of me right now. And if you look at Korong, even Julia Sokolowski, who only ended up with 16 confessionals when she went home, she had a pretty even edit throughout. It was 1-1-0-0-1. So she had that going at the beginning. Then it was 3-0-1-3-3-3. So, like, she still had a pretty consistent confessional count throughout the season, even though she had some zeros in there. Because that's what's happening on this season. Like I said, there's only 4 people who have had a confessional in every single episode. So even Gabby has missed one. Davey has missed one. Kara has missed one. Alex missed 2. Like, those. That says something about maybe this winner is somebody we're not necessarily suspecting, although I think Nick is the far and away winner of this season.
I think he's your quote-unquote obvious winner. He's like your Mike of this season, except obviously this cast is a lot more likable than the World's Podcast. Yeah. But so if he wins, I wouldn't be surprised. And you rewatch the season, you know he wins from the premiere because he had – I guess he didn't have the strongest premiere, but look, retroactively, he had the strongest premiere because he goes into – his personal life, which like they hit you with that very early. He was like going to go home. He had the whole like Chris thing. And then I think Christian could be an obvious winner, but I think it's just so crazy that they would even let Christian get that far, which is what we've been saying for so long. So I would be satisfied with this entire cast winning. And that doesn't happen when there's 10 people left in the season. So that's just been really enjoyable and really cool.
Yeah. So your number three was Allison as well.
I mean, we kind of broke it down already, but I think Allison is one of the few people on the season who really doesn't have any form of ego. And I think that's going to get her really far, especially because she is in a bit of a minority / swing position. And she was just robbed of her swing position, which like you take anyone else's vote away and they have a meltdown. She, I think, is going to handle that perfectly fine. She and Nick seem to have some kind of working relationship or like trolling relationship, which is even better. And I think she's going to be fine. I think she has no connection to Mike and Angelina other than the fact that they both wore purple buffs 25 days ago. So this is Allison's time to make a move. I was originally calling her Laurel for like 30 minutes, but the difference was Laurel needed to make a move. Allison was not in the position that she absolutely needed to yet. Allison still some time, and I think now is when she's going to start to come in.
Yeah, and I think that's a good comparison because Laurel had to make the move if she wanted any chance to win, whereas I don't think Allison needs to. But the other thing that's working in Allison's favor that wasn't working in Laurel's favor is she actually has people who are willing to move with her. She still has Kara and Alec, and then it seems like her and Gabby have a really good relationship. Laurel only had Donathan, and then she was sitting there with two of the obvious winners. Who Allison is aligned with aren't obvious winners. Gabby could win, Kara could win, Alec could win. They're not obvious winners. It's not like Allison sitting there going, oh, I want to go to the end with Christian and Nick, because that would just be dumb. Or I want to go with Davey, who right now people might not be saying, oh, he's got an obvious winners at it, but he has played an idol to save Christian and has made some moves last tribal council to make it seem like, hey, Davey could really win this, and he's a likable guy. So when I look at who Allison is trying to make the move with, she has the numbers, she has the ammo to do it, and it's the right group of people. It's not the wrong group of people. So I think that this is an episode where you might see two Goliaths go home this week, and then next week you might see Christian go home, or a Davey go home, or a Carl go home, like a little bit of a flop there, because now the numbers are 5-3, and those three Goliaths can say, hey, Gabby, come work with us. Hey, Christian, come work with us, or something along those lines.
That's a good point. I mean, I think we both want this to be a really fun, crazy double boot. This could be a Mike and Angelina back-to-back, and then next week is when it gets super crazy. That's a good point.
Yep, absolutely. So my number four is Gabby. I think,
okay, we strayed. This is good.
But I think that Gabby's just, like, safe. Like, why is Gabby going to go home this week? And I can't figure out the reason. I know the preview's playing up Carl versus Gabby, but Carl's the one with no allies on the Goliath side. Mm-hmm. Gabby was a part of the strike force. Her and Allison were bonding really strong over at the Brochacho camp. And she has Christian on her side, which means she probably has Nick on her side enough. I'm sure we haven't seen enough of her and Nick, and there's been a lot more to the relationship than we've seen. So if you're going to vote out a David, I think that Gabby might actually be the least likely out of all of them, less likely than Nick or Christian. But I put Gabby a little bit lower just because she doesn't feel as integral to the story. But she's the one last week, come on over to the good side, come over to the good side. She seems to be the one who's saying, come on, Goliaths, come on, Goliaths, which is why I keep saying she's going to eventually work with the Goliaths to get rid of a David, maybe to get rid of Christian even, who is her closest ally, and she's been playing an insanely emotional game. And at some point, she has to vote out Christian, and she's all emotional doing it, but she realizes it's the best thing for her game in order to win.
Oh, do you think she'd get rid of Christian? Or do you think Christian would get rid of her and she would get rid of Christian? They are that duo that, like, I think they both know that they have to, but I don't know if either of them actually would.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Christian needs to get rid of Gabby, but I think Gabby needs to get rid of Christian. And I think because of how emotional Gabby has been playing, I could see her voting out Christian and it being one of those insane, how I can't believe you did that, but everybody kind of respects Gabby for it after she
leaves. Yeah, I could see that. It's kind of like the anti-Ken. Like, Ken voted out David way too late. But if Gabby does it early, then she has an ally on the jury. And she could be okay. That's a good point. I have her a little bit lower, but not too much lower.
Well, she's my winner pick too, so I'm not getting rid of her yet.
Yeah, you gotta keep her up there.
Gotta keep.
Gabby's getting a really interesting edit too. I think that this week we're finally gonna get like a Gabby centered episode, which we really haven't at all. And it feels as if she's almost been in the background for the entire merge. Mm. So I just want to see more of her. So I feel like we're gonna get a lot more Gabby this week, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, it's interesting because she only has 17 confessionals up till now, but I feel like she's still been in every single episode. You know what I mean?
Know.
Like, she feels like she's being involved because she only has 17 confessionals, but she's had at least two in all but three episodes. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That means
No,
I was just gonna say that means it's a consistent. It's that's really consistent. Davey's another one who's got a very similar edit to Gabby, and you know. That's why somebody like Kara and Alec, they have higher numbers than Gabby, but Gabby feels like she's been much more relevant in the season than both of them.
Yeah, and Gabby's getting – she's getting content that other people could say, but they're giving it to Gabby, which mm-hmm. I really like because that shows a lot of longevity too.
Exactly.
For number 4 and 5, because my 3, 4, and 5 are pretty similar, we got Allison 3, Alec 4, and Kara at 5. That's probably very, very high for Kara. But I think that this is where these three finally start to shine. We've been toying with them getting involved since the merge, but I think they're now kind of similar to what I was saying about Allison. They have no connection to Mike and Angelina other than the fact that they started on the same time together. And they have all been wanting to make this move. And finally, the Davids are like almost out of advantages. And I think the Davids are going to want to start either splintering off or picking more people off. And I think Allison, Alec, and Kara are finally going to make that jump, probably out of desperation. And I don't know if it'll actually work, but I would be really surprised to see 2 out of those 3 people go home. And I think Allison and Alec have the 2 closest relationships to the Davids. That's why I have Kara at the bottom of those 3, just because I still don't really know who Kara is really tight with out of that David group. But I think those 3 are going to be in a swing position. Even though it's going to be like 8-2, I think they're still going to try to divide something up. And I think those 3 being in a swing position is going to put them in a very safe position.
Yeah. So I have Alec at 5. I think that Alec is fine this week because like that whole swing position thing, I don't see him going home. Mm-hmm. And then I have Kara at 7. I have Davey at 6. So I'll jump ahead of you a little bit. But the reason I have Kara that low is just because if, let's say, Mike wins immunity or Angelina wins immunity at the second one, I'm assuming Mike or Angelina goes home in the first one. If they win immunity in the second one, who do they vote out? And do the Davids get rid of one of their own? Or do they go for Kara? Do they go for Alec or do they go for Allison? Kara seems like the one they're least close with. She wasn't part of the strike force. She was left out of the vote out of Natalia. It doesn't seem like they have much going like in that region there. And then plus, if that's going to put you at final 8, you don't want to get rid of one of your own yet because then you even the numbers up at 4-4. So I think that Kara is just in the most danger there. That's why I have her down at 7 and I have Davey at 6 because for Davey, I could see him being somebody who they want to get rid of, but I think Carl is more expendable at this point. I think mm-hmm. that Carl is somebody who we haven't seen too much of really all season. He gets his little lines here and there. The last couple episodes he's been part of, but he hasn't had a confessional in any of them, which lets you know that he's playing a part of everybody else's story. So
he didn't have a confessional last week? I guess he didn't.
I don't think he had a confessional.
Wow. And he was like the main story of that tribal.
That was the episode that should have been his episode. He played the advantage. That was Carl's advantage that got Dan sent home. He played that correctly. And I'm sure we'll hear something from him as soon as he gets back from tribal this week. At least I would hope, because that's the first time it's ever been played and he played it correctly. But yeah, we haven't really heard from Carl much at all recently, especially since the merge hit. So what I'm thinking is that Carl's more expendable than somebody like Davey. And Davey makes it into the next week, and maybe this is a week where Carl and Angelina go home, so it's a big character and a little bit smaller of a character. Or it could be Carl and Kara, who Carl's had a much smaller edit than Kara, but both of them have similar edits in terms of they're in the episodes, they're not getting an incredible amount of content, and both of them feel like they could go out at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call. I have Carl lower too, just kind of for very similar reasons. Do you give your number 6?
Yeah, it was Davey.
Okay. My six is also Davey. I think Davey is okay. I think within the David five, it's like Nick is in the middle, and then it goes Gabby and Christian on one side and Davey and Carl on the other side. And which side Nick is closer to, I'm still unsure. The jury's still out for me on that. But I think Nick is closer to Davey than he is to Carl, and Nick is closer to Christian than he is to Gabby. At least that's how I see it. So I don't know why any of the Goliaths would go for Davey. I don't know why any of these swing Goliaths would go for Davey. And I don't know why Christian or Nick or Gabby would really want to go for Davey. I think if they're going to splinter internally, it's Gabby and Carl who are the ones that are in danger. And Davey, I mean, Davey jumped out right after he played that idol and went hunting for another one. And there was just an idol played, and there's going to be a gigantic search party as soon as they get back. And I think Davey's going to be leading the charge on that. I think even though his big move was 2 weeks ago, he's still got a huge target on his back. But I think he's going to be fine just because he still has the right relationships, but also he doesn't have a big enough target where people are going to be like, oh, we got to get rid of Davey right now.
Yeah, Davey feels like somebody who there's bigger threats than Davey. There's going to be bigger threats for a little bit than Davey is. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think Davey survives this week, even though it's a double boot, and moves on to the final eight for sure. Who do you have at seven, since my seven was Kara?
So your seven is Kara. My seven is Gabby. I don't, after we've talked it out, I agree with you. I don't think Gabby goes home this week. If she does, she's the second one to go home. I think we see this Gabby and Carl fighting, yada yada, and then Angelina or Mike or someone easy goes home. And then in the second half, you see Christian having this whole existential crisis about, I got to keep my Davids together. Whoever is getting annoyed with Gabby, I don't know if it's just Carl, I don't know if it's more people, it's probably just Carl. And then he's got to get rid of Gabby. And my number eight is Carl because I have them kind of hand
That's
in
who I
hand.
have too.
Yeah, I have them hand in hand. Again, I think Gabby is fine, but Gabby has yet to have a full on this is my episode. And that makes me nervous that she's probably going to get that this week. I think she'll be okay, but just the fact that she's probably going to get a Gabby centric episode with people yelling at her, that makes me just kind of nervous for her. And Christian is eventually going to have to make this decision because you can't bring, if I'm Christian, I'm not bringing Nikki and Gabby to the end. I feel like that's just not the right call. So I'm nervous for her, but I overall think she'll be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky for Christian this week with what he does with this idol. Because is he going to have to play in the 5-5 vote? Are they going to be able to flip Allison? Are they going to say to them, look, we'll go to rocks with it. We don't care. Christian has an idol, but we don't care. We'll go to rocks, 5-5, whatever you want to do. And if you guys get the numbers advantage, we'll just have Christian play his idol the next time. And then we'll make you go to rocks again at final eight. Is that the mentality they're going to have? And right now, the Davids definitely have the advantage because they can pull somebody from the Goliaths. The Goliaths have no pull right now. So it's going to be interesting to see if Christian has to play his idol first. I just feel like Christian has to be either the finale or the boot right before the finale. It seems like he has to get there. He has to be close there. His edit's been huge. He's been the fan favorite. It seems like from him finding that idol, there's got to be a way that he survives this week. So, but is he going to be able to survive with an idol in his pocket still, or is he going to have to play it? And in order to keep the David number strong, because if he can use it, if he doesn't have to use it this week, and we get down next week where it's five Davids and three Goliaths, he can then suddenly use that idol to vote out one of the Davids. If him and Gabby want to flip over to the other side, they might not even have to play the idol, but now he can use that idol as leverage. And him and Gabby could flip to the other side if they wanted to take out Davy or Carl or Nick, who I don't think they would take out, but Davy or Carl. And you could end up with a final six that looks very similar to the Strike Force anyway, with Nick, Gabby, Christian, Allison, Alec, and then Kara instead of Mike. What that looks almost identical to what the Strike Force was supposed to be originally.
Yeah, and they kind of stumble backwards into that instead of actually making it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point about Christian's idol because we didn't really talk about it when we both put him at number two. But this David big happy family is not going to happen forever. And I think no one has strayed yet, but we've seen enough seasons where they're just not going to last until the final five. And so I think Christian's idol being public knowledge, unless he plays it now, like for someone else, that's going to almost come off as a disadvantage for him, because he didn't know that his name was being thrown around until Nick told him 2 weeks ago. So that makes me nervous. I think now he's very aware of when his name's going to be thrown around, but internally within the Davids, they can turn around and be like, well, we got to get rid of him right now. Again, don't think it's going to happen, but that idol being public knowledge makes me really nervous. More nervous than any of the other advantages being public knowledge.
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, now that he knows that there's not an idol nullifier.
Yeah, he's good. You
know, and I think these Davids, this is like the Foa Foa 4 or the I24 or you know, the Mata Amu 4 or the Rotu 4, whichever side it was. But yeah, the Rotu 4. These groups, when they're down and then they can make the comeback, they tend to stick together. And you know, JT, Taj, and Steven, yeah, they stuck together until Final Four, and then they voted out Taj to keep Aaron around, which might have seemed shocking to some people, but you took Taj as far as you could take Taj without worrying that she was going to beat you. And that's something I could see happening to Christian. It's, we took you as far as we could, and then we got rid of you when we had to. But it's, once you can flip the numbers, there's that whole, oh my God, we did this, that a lot of these underdogs feel, and it makes it harder to get rid of somebody. So I don't feel like Christian is in danger just yet. And it would be really surprising to me to see any of his allies try to turn on him and vote him out this week. I mean, even look at Carl. Carl is somebody who, he wanted Elizabeth out for a little bit, it seemed like, but he still waited until the right moment to actually get rid of Elizabeth. And Davey might have wanted Elizabeth out at that tribal council where they ended up voting out Natalia, but it's the smart move to do what he did. And so I think these Davids are able to put it to the side and realize, okay, it's just a game. We need to stick together with this five, because if we don't, then all of a sudden we start eating each other and the Goliaths are back in this. Let's just get them out of here while we can.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this happens kind of after this week, this breakdown, because they know, like, I think you said this last week in our recap. Okay, we evened out the numbers. Why would we break up now? You know, why would you do that now? They played so smart up until this point. They can't just drop it all and have done all of that for nothing.
Yeah.
So you bring up a good point with that. And I think our bottom two, the same, Mike and Angelina. I have Mike at 9 and Angelina at 10.
Yeah, me too. I think that if anybody could survive, it's Mike. I don't think Angelina can survive this week. I'd be really surprised if she does. I mean, hey, maybe she does. But
she lasted longer really than we expected.
Absolutely. But I think that in a double boot, it's been coming for so long for Angelina. She finally gets off the chopping block last week, and it's still clear that she's the she's the choice for the Goliaths who look like they're going to defect. It's Angelina. So that's still going. One thing I wanted to say, though, does it shock anyone else that Angelina has the same amount of confessionals as Christian, and that, but Angelina and Christian only have one more confessional than Mike? Like, is that shocking to anyone else?
That's, to me, it's not weird that they have the same amount of confessionals. It's weird that they only have one more than Mike. That's weird. Cause yeah, the Christians, their content has been so different, but their presence has been pretty similar. Cause Angelina was probably as like relevant to the premier just he was, but his content has been a lot more personal. Hers has been either, oh my God, I'm in trouble, or a lot more strategy facing.
Yeah, it's crazy how this season has been edited so far, where Angelina and Christian have 27. Alec has 20. Kara has 19. So even though it seems like we're getting such a heavy dosage of Christian, we're really not. He's not the highest total. He's not much higher than these people that don't seem like they've been a part of the season nearly as much as him. So I'm really liking how this has been edited so far, and that's why it's been so much more fun to sit down and just talk about who do you think can actually pull this out, because anybody feels like they can.
I think you're right.
Well, that's our entire power rankings. We barely hit a half hour. That's wow. Ridiculous.
Well, so I saw something that reminded me in the live chat, and I saw this on the internet. I don't want to get anyone excited, including myself, but there is a still photo from next week's preview of Christian holding a wallet.
No.
There might be, drumroll, an auction next week.
Alexa, you have to use that photo for our episode 10 predictions and power rankings.
Just the wallet, not even him. Just the wallet. Just a bunch of arrows pointing towards
it. That's part of our predictions right here, is that could be an auction.
I know everyone has been saying like top 10 season, top 5 season. Maybe I'm overreacting. I don't care. If there is an auction, this is top 10 season.
See, and I was reading this the other day, and I wanted to bring this up. I think this is in our Patreon group, but what I wanted to bring up here is that a lot of people are saying, is this season only so good because it's coming off of Ghost Island? But when I was doing my pre-merge rankings in the off season, I rewatched like everything. I rewatched Pearl Islands. I rewatched Micronesia. I rewatched parts of Thailand. R.I.P. Oh, me. God. But I rewatched a lot of Survivor, a lot of really, really good seasons. I rewatched Palau. But what I'm realizing, so to me, Ghost Island isn't the last season I watched. Mm-hmm. And me, what I started thinking is, are these seasons, do they only seem better because they're following up Ghost Island? But now I'm watching this season and I'm in love with it. I'm saying top five season, easy. Easy, because I've always said that the fifth one is always a hard one to find between Vanuatu and Millennials vs. Gen X. Those are my five, six at the moment. But I feel like this is probably better than both of those, because it's not just Chris's story and it's not just Millennials vs. Gen X, which is just a really fun season. It's not either of those. There's just more going on here. And it's not because it's following up Ghost Island for me, because it's not following up Ghost Island for me. So I'm really, really loving this season based on its own merit, not because, oh, great, it's finally, it's not because it's China following up Fiji, you know, and I'm obviously China's my favorite season, but there's always that argument of, well, it's because Fiji was absolutely awful. So of course China was going to seem good.
Yeah. I try not to think that I apply a previous, like the most previous season to this. I liked Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, and I know a lot of people were soured by the ending. And for me, Ghost Island was, call me crazy, it was almost rectified by how it ended. That ending brought me back to like 13-year-old me watching James get voted out with two idols. Like, that was one of the craziest moments I can ever remember watching this show. And to me, that made it all worth it. So if this comes out of Game Changers, like maybe, but to Phil's point, like Phil was watching a lot of Survivor here and there. And I don't think about Ghost Island when I'm talking about this season. I'm only thinking about this season. And yeah, we make comparisons to certain players. And usually players from more recent seasons, but I don't think it is. I think if I watched, if I sat down and watched China, Micronesia, and Vanuatu, and then this, I would still like this as much as if I watched Game Changers, Redemption Island, and then this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that this season, I don't think anybody's overreacting to this season right now. I think that this is just straight up that good. I really do. I think it's just that. Look, you said that last season brought you back to 13-year-old you. And, oh, I felt like James was playing his idols. That's what this whole season has done. Mm-hmm. The last, like, almost every episode, I have had that feeling.
Yeah.
Characters like Natalie Cole, Natalia, Pat going out the way he went out. There's just been shocking moments throughout this entire season. The Jessica blindside right away. It's just, there's so much going on in this season. I don't feel like I'm overrating it at all.
No. And we have we put in, we haven't put Ghost Island into our overall power rankings yet, have we?
I might have, but I don't know if you did, and I don't know. Then we definitely didn't combine them.
Okay, maybe at the end of this season, because I think we were doing it every two seasons. Let's put Ghost Island and this one in. Yeah, I don't know.
I have in here.
Yeah, I don't think I have mine. I should probably update mine. But I'm loving the season. I don't care what anybody says. I think everyone's agreeing with it. I haven't found a single person who doesn't like this season. I'm finding so many people disagreeing on who they like and who they don't like, which to me makes a really good season. Like, there's been a lot of controversy with how people feel about Dan. There's been a ton of controversy with how people feel about Natalie. There's been, everyone has liked Christian, and I expect a lot of people to not like Christian, and everyone's loving him. There's a lot of back and forth on Gabby, and these, I can't even call them controversial because they're not controversial. People's differing opinions on so many characters makes for an amazing season, because it means you can rewatch it and see something different every time.
Yeah, and I had Ghost Island at 30.
Okay. Oh, we did put Ghost Island in, you're right. Yeah, that's appropriate, I guess.
I mean, Game Changers in Fiji are what I have above it, but honestly, other than the ending of Ghost Island, Game Changers pre-merge is more entertaining than anything in Ghost Island except for the end and Chris's boot episode. And then Fiji at least has like Yao Man, the car, all of that stuff, which I feel like is just as iconic. I mean, yeah. We've wanted a tie for so long, but that Yao Man Dreams thing, to me, that's on the same level. So.
I like Fiji. I mean, I get why people don't like it, but it has I mean, the Yao Man moment, the Edgardo blindside, like Earl just absolutely crushing everybody. It's a good season.
Yeah, but exactly. The Four Horsemen going out the way they did. Michelle
has been existing for like a minute.
People thinking that Michelle would have won had they not done that split. She wouldn't have won.
I don't think people think that. I think they just think she was screwed.
She was screwed. Everybody gets screwed. That's the other thing. I hope that Survivor learned from their mistake in Ghost Island and doesn't do a 5-5 split this week.
In terms of voting?
Yeah, I remember last year is when they did the 5-5 split. They split everybody up into groups of five, and that's when Michael Yeager went home. And
oh, that was so Michael bad. And,
who was the other one who went home?
Jenna.
Jenna, it was Jenna.
Yeah, that was when Jeff was like, do you guys have anything else to talk about? And they were like, no. It's like, all right, well, sick, go vote.
Yeah, exactly.
Horrible. But I don't think they'll do that again.
All right, well, we're at – now we've hit 40 minutes. Good job stretching.
Oh, great. There we go. See, we can do this. We're good at this.
Alexa, why don't you do your whole speech, which has now turned into a 45-minute speech. Get those tonsils feeling
I know.
Better.
These tonsils are absolutely killing me. Hurts to swallow. Hurts to talk. Sound like a man. But otherwise, it's fine. We've had a couple people asked about when we are doing our second patron podcast. We're doing that tonight. I don't know, probably around 9 – depending on if I can breathe and if Phil's grandparents come, TBD. So if you're a $5 and up patron, we are doing a Q&A podcast today. So obviously you guys have had a ton of questions about this season, about past seasons. And if you're a $5 patron up, you will, we're going to record, we're going to write down all the questions that you guys have, and we're going to finally answer them. Again, we're still working out the kinks of this. So Phil's just been like DMing people with the length to watch. So I guess we'll probably do that again until we figure out a better system. So keep an eye out for that. I posted in the patron group, just kind of a thread for any questions. So if you have any, and if you are a patron, please post there. And if you are not a patron, change that right now. Go to patreon.com/survivorspecialists. Check us out. We have 4 different tiers of patrons, and we think all of them are super cool. We have a really active Facebook page going on. We're adding a couple podcasts per month, and everyone seems really enjoying it so far, and we're really having fun with it too. In the meantime, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, give us 5 stars on iTunes. You've been getting a lot of FaceTime with us this weekend. So if you're not a patron, you won't be seeing us until Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, because we have a 2-hour episode. So we'll be back then, and sign up to be a patron.
Yeah. There you go, Alexa. Good job.
Oh my God, my throat hurts.
No rest.